Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show. Pointing you home on WMAL.
Welcome back. Candy, you almost left, but we started a good conversation about not being afraid of the appraiser. Tell me what you meant by that.
Well, many times as an appraiser, when I'm calling people to set an appointment to come and see their house, they're like, well, you can't come this week. You have to come next week. I have to clean my house this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, cleaning your house is not necessary. I'm looking at the house. Anybody who's in appraisals for any amount of time, you know, your eye just looks at the house. You're not looking if there's dust sitting on the table. You don't care.
Right.
You're looking at the house.
The dishes may not be done. There may be clothes on the floor. You may be embarrassed. That's a different issue, right? But being afraid.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because as the appraiser, we'll come in. The typical lender requirements is to take a picture of every room in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's always important to make sure there are no locked rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I have that problem sometimes. Bedrooms are locked.
Right.
It creates a problem. Pictures of every room. I'll go through and typically draw a floor plan of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Take notes. Take measurements from the outside if a survey is available. A survey is always welcomed and very helpful for the appraiser. And outside pictures.
Okay. So don't be afraid of the appraiser coming in. Facilitate the appraiser coming in. He's not buying. She's not buying. They're just looking at the sticks and the bricks, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's always helpful also to maybe have, and it behooves you as a homeowner because you want as much value for your home as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The appraiser has to support to the lender that the value's there. You can help the appraiser by giving them a list of all the improvements you've done for the house. Of course, the major improvements, kitchens, baths, flooring, windows, roof, heating, cooling.
Right.
Those are all big ones. Any fences you put in that renew. If you're into a more of a rural property, it's important to understand about any updates to the septic system, to the well,
mm-hmm.
anything with barns, run-in sheds, things like that are very important.
Right.
Those things add value to your property.
Mm-hmm.
What I always suggest to people, even on the real estate side, is when you first buy a house, you should keep a file of every home improvement that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you should also be keeping this file for tax purposes.
That's right.
I'm not a tax accountant, but mm-hmm. I'm in the process of doing my taxes now, and I have a sale of home that I'm dealing with on my taxes. So this is why I have all this stuff fresh in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important, even the little things. You know, I know you're switching out light fixtures. Not only the light fixtures on the ceiling, but even your light switches on the wall, your
mm-hmm.
plate covers. I mean, even the minor little things, when
mm-hmm.
you get ready to sell this house,
mm-hmm.
those are the things that you want to be able to point out to the buyer,
mm.
potential buyers,
mm-hmm.
that these things have all been updated and replaced.
Right.
Because you are showing to the buyer that you are really you're taking care of your house. You're updating it. You have pride in your house.
Right.
And if you have pride in your house and you're maintaining it, the buyer feels more comfortable with also possibly buying it also.
Mm-hmm. Makes good sense. And like you said, and those are two great reasons. You can present the value to the IRS to show where you do not owe tax on part of the capital gain because you actually invested that money into your property. And that's very, very important. But you also are going to provide that to the appraiser to help the appraiser see the hidden value. Your real estate agent is going to be very important to you as you're selling your home and winning the appraisal to get the value that you need. And what do I mean by that is now Candy's licensed in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia as an appraiser. She's licensed in Virginia as a realtor. And as a member of our group, she understands this probably better than anybody in our group because she's got the appraisal hat and the realtor hat. So, Candy, you show up for an appraisal. The agent's actually there and provides you with their chosen comparables. How does that help them and how does that help you?
Well, realtors and appraisers pull comparables slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
It's been many occurrences that the appraiser or the realtor will search the zip code
mm-hmm.
to find the few sales that may support the contract price.
Mm-hmm.
As an appraiser, lenders will typically limit me on distance.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, as an appraiser, I have to be able to support to the lender. If I don't use the house that just sold down the street, and it's relatively similar as far as age and size, obviously location, but it didn't sell mm-hmm. for our contract price and doesn't support our contract price that we're trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
If the lender comes back and asks the appraiser, why didn't you use that? the appraiser has to have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a short sale, a foreclosure. It could have been a distressed sale from a divorce.
Right.
It could have been a property, maybe the subject property has lots of updates and that house had none.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been that was a bad location, a bad view.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a reason. Without that reason, the appraiser has to almost use that property because it's right there on the same street, just recently sold. It's similar in size, similar in age. I can't put my finger on any reason why I shouldn't consider it, then I have to be able to use it because if I can't support it to the bank, then, you know, I'm a little back up against the wall.
Okay. Let me file a complaint against appraisers for a second and see what your response is.
Okay.
All right. So let's say I sell a home that's in the Langley School District. Okay. And there are invisible lines in a neighborhood where Langley School is on one side, another school might be on the other, okay, that might not have the same value proposition in the buyer's minds. And I'm not speaking to what's a good school and what's a bad school. I'm simply speaking to the demand for a particular school district. The same would be true, say, for Wilson High School in D.C., or perhaps it could be Whitman or Wooten or Churchill or other schools in Montgomery County, Richard Montgomery, et cetera. What's the value difference between one school and the other, and how do you as an appraiser figure that out?
Well, in the appraisal process, if I'm looking, you know, two blocks away in one direction and I'm seeing that the houses there are statistically selling, a similar house are selling for less because they're in a different school district, I have then a reason to support to the lender why I'm not going to go pull houses two blocks that way, but I might be going in a mile and a half in a different direction to stay in the specific school district. If I have justification and reason that I can support and statistically show to the lender, I'm fine as the appraiser. I've done my job.
We have appraisers, though, who don't seem to be aware of those invisible lines. And then we have to, as realtors, educate them on, hey, no, you've pulled from this school district. In our opinion, it's worth $25,000 more to be over here. And we certainly capture those values. And if you look, I think listeners know this. If you pull houses in a particular area, they tend to sell for more because of the school district.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. And so you want to, if you're the seller of a house, you want to get the most value. It's, you know, as Warren Buffett would say, price is what you pay, but the value is what you get. A part of the value is the schools. A part of it is the house. A part of it's the land. A part of it's the orientation. I have a property, gorgeous, gorgeous property, Potomac, Maryland. It's on a couple of acres. It's just $1 million, which this is old Potomac, very pretty, has a pool in the backyard, a paddock. It's got a riding riding ring that was constructed for horses. There are two horses that have lived on the property for quite some time. It's a very, very stunning property. But I had a Chinese buyer, and the Chinese buyer, I showed them because I thought this would be a perfect place. They could pull the house down and build the nice big house that they want. But the yard in the back actually drops off a little bit. Okay, so you could put a nice level walkout basement. For the average American buyer like myself, I think this is the ideal lot because I can have an out-of-ground basement, beautiful views of the trees and the stream and so on. But you know what she said? She said, nope, I want the yard to go up in the back. That's better feng shui, better energy for the Chinese buyer. So different buyers have different perceptions of what is real value. One of those is schools. One of those is a pool, as we talked about you know, earlier in the show. Anyway, good considerations. Be a friend to your appraiser and to yourself. Keep a list of all the improvements you've made. Just keep a file. Like, I've got a file that I just stick my receipts into. Frankly, I've never gone through and tabulated them. I just, you know, I just know I just did something at the house. Okay, I just stick it in my giant file. When the time comes, I'll have what I need. I can put it together for the appraiser on the sale of my property or for the IRS when I hopefully have a gain one day. Thanks, Candy. I'll be right back with my final thoughts, so don't go away.